إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the past several weeks we've been speaking about our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about his life before the message of Islam. And as we've seen and heard, for the first two-thirds of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah the Mighty and Majestic, Azza wa Jal, preserved and protected him. He preserved and protected his character and his belief. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, before Islam, he was amongst a very, very few, the minority of a society that did not engage in illicit behavior. He did not drink alcohol. He did not gamble. He did not lie. He was an honest person. He was upright and he stood for justice. Nor did he worship idols, which was the common religion of the time. That was the common practice. The majority of his tribesmen and family members, they were idolaters. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, however, was not. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, around the age of 40, 3 years before he turned 40, he sought refuge on the outside of the city, Mecca. He would go out 2 miles from the city and he would seek refuge in the quiet of the desert, in the ravines and the mountains of Mecca. And it would be in that place, in that quiet, away from the city and away from all of the trouble and the distraction of city life, that he would ponder and reflect over the universe around him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do this, and one of his favorite locations was a cave called Hira. When he would go out from Mecca to his home, he would bring with him some porridge, barley porridge and water, and that's what he would live off of for a couple of days. He would go as if on a camping excursion. He would go there for a number of days and that's where he would remain. And on his way with his provisions, with his food, he would feed the poor people on the way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was dedicated to his community. He was overwhelmed with the ills of his society. He saw great evil going on, not just, of course, the worst of that evil, which is their pagan practice of worshipping idols, which of course is trampling on the rights of the Creator of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they were directing their worship to other things that could not help nor harm them, turning away from Allah azza wa jal. But they were also very evil in the ways in which they dealt with one another. The strong in that society ruled and trampled on the weak, stepped on the necks and the backs of the weak to lift them up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was constantly thinking about this, alayhi salatu wasalam. In those quiet moments of prayer and meditation that would take place in those caves and in those ravines and valleys of Mecca out in the desert, He would feel helpless in regards to his community situation because he had no specific course of action. He did not know what to do, where to begin to relieve his society and to correct the wrongs that he witnessed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the age of 40, this went on for 3 years. At the age of 40, there was a moment that would change his life forever, and it would change the history of the world. The first signs of revelation, they began. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would walk out to those remote locations away from his city, as he was walking out, he would hear a voice saying to him, Salam, greeting him the greeting of peace. And he would turn around and he would not see anyone there. And he would hear this constantly on his way out into the desert, going to worship and pray and meditate. He would hear, Salamu alaykum. He would hear the greeting of peace, but no one would be there. And then another sign began. It was reported in Sahih Bukhari, on the authority of his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, أَوَّلُ مَا بُدِئَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْوَحِي الرُّؤْيَا الصَّادِقَةَ فِي النَّوْمِ. The first way in which the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began, it was through true dreams while he was asleep. فَكَانَ لَا يَرَى رُؤْيًا إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلَ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. That he would not see one of these dreams except that would it appear to him and come to him like the daybreak. Clear and plain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these dreams, they would be manifest and come true, and they would be so obvious as the sun is when it rises above the horizon in the morning, that there is no doubt that the day has come. There is no doubt that the sun has risen. And this was the nature of this revelation. Imam al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the past, he says that the dreams, they began when he reached the age of 40. And they began in the month of his birth, Rabi al-Awwal. When he was born that month, Rabi al-Awwal, on his 40th birthday, if we were to say such a thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to see these dreams, and they continued for 6 months. These dreams continued for 6 months. What does that mean? That means they continued up until the month of Ramadan. When the month of Ramadan came, then something amazing happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she reports this, continuing in this narration, فَكَانَ يَأْتِي هِرَاءً فَيَتَحَنَّثُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ. She says he would go to this cave, Hira, and he would perform a type of worship or meditation. وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ اللَّيَالِ ذَوَاتِ الْعَدَدِ وَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِذَلِكَ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى خَدِيجَةَ فَتَزَوِّدُهُ لِمِثْلِهَا. So he would prepare himself. He would bring supplies and he would go to this mountain. And when he was finished with the number of days and his supplies ended, he would go back to his wife Khadija. And then she would prepare more supplies for him. She would prepare more food for him so that he could return to his meditation and his prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife, was not holding him away from prayers and meditation, was not keeping him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, distracting him from developing a relationship with Allah azza wa jalla, but she was encouraging this behavior and helping him along the way. And this was his regular practice for these 3 years, and particularly in these 6 months when he was seeing these dreams until the month of Ramadan. فَعَيْشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ حَتَّى فُجِئَهُ الْحَقِّ. He did this until the truth came to him surprisingly, وَهُوَ فِرَارِ حِرَى, while he was in the cave of Hira. فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ فِيهِ فَقَالَ اِقْرَى. So the angel, he visits him in this cave and he said to him, recite. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an illiterate man, he said, I am not a reciter. Meaning, I am not able to do that as you were asking. I'm not able to recite. What is it that you want me to recite? He said, the angel grabbed me and held me and squeezed me tightly until I became exhausted. And then he released me. And then he said again to me, Iqra, read or recite. And he said to the angel, I am not a reciter. I am not a reciter. He said, the angel grabbed me a second time and squeezed me until I became exhausted and let me go again. The Prophet ﷺ went through this. Something that you could consider traumatic, a traumatic experience, if you could imagine such a thing. If you could imagine such a thing being visited by someone not of this world. In all honesty, it would appear that these are the things that nightmares are made of. From my perspective, when you look at it, this is what scary movies are made of. When you go home and the lights are off and you're worried and you're saying Bismillah and you don't know what's happening. Could you imagine being grabbed, squeezed, something you can't identify what it is and they're telling you to do something. So the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, which is the angel that delivered all of the previous revelations, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to read, and he began to recite from the first words that were revealed to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord who has created. And he continued to recite until he reached the fifth verse of this surah, Suratul Alaq, until he reached عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ, that he has come to teach man that which they know not. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith narrated by his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that he returned immediately to his wife Khadija and he told her, زَمِّلُونِي زَمِّلُونِي, cover me, physically, to hold him. You can see that he was frightened, that he was worried. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he calmed down, when he got himself under control in the care of his wife, he said to her, Ya Khadija, ma li? He says, what is with me, O Khadija, my wife? Qad khashitu ala nafsi. He says, I have fear for myself. I am worried for myself. So his wife, Khadija, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said some words to him at one of the most trying moments in his life. One of the most difficult moments of his life. She said to him, كَلَّا أَبْشِرْ فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يُغْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. She says, Allah will never disgrace you. Allah will never disgrace you. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ وَتَصْدِقُ الْحَدِيثُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلُّ وَتُقْرِيُ الضَّيْفُ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. She said, you unite the family. You join family ties. You bear the burden of the weak. You help the poor and needy. You entertain your guests. And you endure hardship in the pathways of truthfulness. This is what she said to her husband, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only did she say these beautiful words to encourage him, to raise him up and prepare him to carry on in this mission, she went to her uncle Waraqah ibn Nawfal, who was one of the Arabs there in that area that became a Christian, who was very knowledgeable of the Christian texts, and explained to him what had happened. And he informed her that he was to be a prophet, and that he was visited by the same angel that visited Musa or Moses alayhi salatu wasalam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was better, she took him as well to visit him, and he told him the same thing. And he told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, that your people are going to drive you out. He said, there has been no one that has come before you with such a message that their people did not reject them and drive them out. And if I were to be alive when they drove you out, then I would support you in the strongest of ways. Shortly thereafter, he passed away and died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the beginning of his revelation. There are a number of reports that talk about the details of this. And one of those reports, which is a little bit different or fills in some of the details, was reported by Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah. And he says, after the first of the revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was frightened and he fled from the cave. After that exchange happened between him and the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fled from the cave and he said, I have never disliked anyone more than a poet or a madman. I have never disliked anyone more than a poet or a madman. I cannot stand looking at either of them. And I will never tell anyone of my tribe what has occurred. He was fearing that if he returned and told them what happened, they would either think he was a poet because of the words that he would share, the words of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they would think he was a crazed madman, saying that I was visited by an angel, and that the angel told me that I was a prophet. And that is the exact reaction that we would have today. That is the reaction that many people still have today. Not about modern day claims of prophethood, but even about those from the past, from the real prophets and messengers. Some people, many people will deny it face value. That's just crazy talk. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was worried about this, and he was so worried, he said that I'm going to climb up this mountain and I'm going to throw myself off to rid me of this burden. Look at this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's such a moment. His life is teetering here. He says, I'm going to climb up on this mountain, I'm going to throw myself off to rid me of this burden. So he said, when I began to climb up, I heard a voice. And it was the voice of the same angel that visited me. And he addressed me and said, O Muhammad, you are the messenger of Allah, and I am Jibreel, the angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, when I heard this voice, I froze in my tracks and I stood there. In the meantime, he had been gone a few more days than normal. This whole scenario and situation had retained him at the mountain, and so his wife Khadija was getting worried. She was accustomed for him to be gone for a couple of days at a time, but now that time had extended beyond its normal amount, so she sent someone to go looking for him. She sent a worker to go looking for him. So this person that was sent walked out towards the area that he was known to go, towards this mountain called Jabal al-Nur, the mountain of light. And when he got close to the mountain, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing up on that mountain frozen. And he assumed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to come down soon. So he returned to Khadija and informed her that he indeed saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Momentarily after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered himself and he returned back to Khadija. Imam At-Tabari reports something different as to what Khadija he said. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to his wife what had happened, she said, "Abshir ibn Am, what boots?" She says, "Glad tidings to you," addressing him in a very beautiful way. "Glad tidings to you. Be firm." She told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Be firm." The strength of a woman, the strength of the wife, the husband is in need of support. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard these words. He says, "فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسُ خَدِيجَةً بِيَدِي إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ أَن تَكُونَ نَبِيَّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ." She says, "By the one whose hand my soul is in, swearing by Allah, I think that you are going to be the prophet of this ummah." Immediately she believed. Immediately she believed in him, though many people would have denied. Khadija radiallahu anha, with her words, she supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she remained a constant support during his mission, both in secret and in public. In the secret phase of Islam and in the public phase of Islam, she stood by her husband through thick and thin. She stood by the truth through thick and thin, and for 10 years she was there with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when she reached the age of 65, the most tragic event in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was her death. Radiallahu anha, she passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he fell into a type of depression when this happened. His wife had passed away, and the scholars of history, they call this Aam al-Huzn, the year of sadness. That she passed away and his uncle Abu Talib passed away just shortly thereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was married to Khadija for 25 years. 25 years. 10 of those 25 were during his prophethood and his mission. He later went on and said regarding this, regarding his wife Khadija, he said, "Amanat bi hina kafara bi an-nas," that she believed in me when the rest of people, they disbelieved. "Wasaddaqatni hina kadhabani an-nas," she sought me to be truthful, or saw me to be truthful when the rest of them, they thought me to be a liar. "Wa'ashrakatni fi maliha hina harramani an-nas," and she shared with me her wealth when the rest of the people, they cut me off and boycotted me. وَرَزَقَنِي اللَّهُ وَلَدَهَا وَحَرَّمَ وَلَدَ غَيْرِهَا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with her children and not the children of anyone else. Khadija radiallahu anha, one of the greatest women of the world's history. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in authentic hadith, خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا مَرْيَمْ, that the best of their women is Maryam, the mother of Isa, the mother of Jesus, alayhi salam, talking about that nation. And then he went on and said, وَخَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا خَدِيجَةً, and the best of that women of this nation is Khadija. The wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she gave such a great sacrifice in the very, very beginning of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was able to hold things together for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her a great reward, blessed her in the time of her life. It was reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal, أتى جبريل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله هذه خديجة قد أتت معها إناء فيه إدام وطعام وشراب. He says, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was visited by Jibreel عليه السلام, and he went to him and said, O Messenger of Allah, this is Khadija. She's coming to you with some food, a bowl of food or drink. فإذا هي أتتك فقرأ عليها السلام من ربها ومني. So if she comes to you, then say salam. Give her the greetings of peace from her Lord and from me, the angel. وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and give her glad tidings of a house in the paradise. مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا سَخَبَ فِيهِ وَلَا نَصَبٍ. Give her glad tidings of a house in paradise, made of jewels that has no noise or toil in it. She was given glad tidings of paradise while she was still living. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered her constantly, even after her death and passing. It was reported by one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha. She remembered the endearment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his wife Khadija and how much he loved her. Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, and Aisha did not marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 years after that. So there was a span of 3 years. Aisha, she was never present during that marriage. But she said, مَا غِرْتُ عَلَى امْرَأَ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا غِرْتُ عَلَى خَدِيجَةً. Said, there was not a woman that I was more jealous of from the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم than I was of Khadija. There was not a woman from the household of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that I was more jealous of than I was of Khadija. And he says, هَلَكَتْ قَبْلَ أَن يَتَزَوَّجَنِي. She passed away before he married me. And she was jealous of Khadija more than anyone else of his wives, and had not been in the same household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the same time. She said, "Lima kuntu asma'uhu yadhkuruha." He says, the reason for this is because I used to hear him mentioning her all of the time, constantly mentioning Khadija radiallahu anha. Wa amarahu Allahu an yubashiraha bi baytin min qasbin, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to give her glad tidings of a house in paradise made of jewels. Wa in kana la yadhbahu shata فَيُهْدِي فِي خَلَائِلِهَا مِنْهَا مَا يَسَعُهُنَّ. And whenever he would sacrifice an animal to feed his family, he would order that some of that sacrifice be given to her family members that were remaining behind. He did not do this for his other wives or family. He did not give as much as he gave to Khadija and to the family members of Khadija radiallahu anha. Brothers and sisters, the support of Khadija, it was something that was unprecedented in the history of Islam. The first of the believers, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khadija radiallahu anha, she was there to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every case, in every situation. She was supporting him with her words and with her actions. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسانا إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, this story of Khadija radiallahu anha, personally, whenever I think about it, I reflect over the power of her words in support of her husband, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In perhaps one of the most severe times of need, Khadija radiallahu anha used words to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to raise him, to lift him up, and to give him the confidence that he needed to continue the task which was commissioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver the last revelation to all of mankind, al-Islam. When you think about it, could you imagine the scenario going the other way? Could you imagine what might have happened if the scenario went the other way, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned home and he told his wife what had happened to him, but she did not say these words of comfort? She said something the opposite of that. Could you imagine the situation? Because this is what happens in our homes a lot of time. Between the spouses, this is what happens a lot of time. We don't receive words of comfort from our significant other, from our spouse, but we receive words of belittlement. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, that's a crazy idea. What are you thinking about? This is something that is commonplace. When the person they need words of support and encouragement from their significant other, they do not find it. Brothers and sisters, words, they have power behind them. The words that you say, they are often sharper than the razor. They are often sharper than the sword. And they are more damaging as well. Words that you say and direct to someone else, whether it's your wife or your child, whether it's your family members or your friends, the words that you say, they can either build someone up and bring about their success, or they can destroy them completely. When we look at the words of the Prophet, the words of the wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, and we compare them to the power of words that were used in a very small moment, a slip up of one of his other wives, Aisha radiallahu anha, to show us the power of words. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said something in a moment of jealousy. And she reported this herself. She says, قُلْتُ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَسْبُكَ مِنْ صَفِيَّ كَذَا وَكَذَا. She said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enough with you and this Safiya, his other wife. And when she said this to him, she gestured and said that he, meaning she was short, to belittle her. In a moment of jealousy, she tried to belittle her, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to raise herself up. Something which today would seem insignificant. He's short, he's tall, she's this, she's that. Physical description. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَلِمَةً, that you have said a word, لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحَرْ لَمَزَجَتْهُ, that if this word was to mix with the oceans, that it would spoil the water in it. One single word. This is the power of the words that you use. And when you use evil words, brothers and sisters, those words, they cannot be taken back. You can apologize for them, but they will not be forgotten. You can apologize for them and you can repent for them, but they will not be forgotten to the one that you said them to. We must be mindful of our words. We must be especially mindful of our words to the ones that we love and care the most. And this is the most difficult thing. Because when you're around someone in your house, you become very comfortable. Sometimes you become too comfortable. And that you just say any old thing without thinking about it and giving it a second thought. Should I say this now or should I not? When you think about it, in your life, there are many times when you control the words that you want to say. In front of your boss, in front of your mother, with your friend, with a relative. You refrain sometimes, but often with our family members, our spouses and our children, we have unlocked our tongues. And we have let them loose. And often what comes out is something that is quite damaging. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to use good words in the Quran. He says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and say to the people, good words. Words that are good. Words that are healthy. Words that bring about benefit. Not words that harm or that hinder. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded us likewise to use good words. And in the absence of those good words, he told us to zip it and remain silent. He said in authentic hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لَيَسْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, they have faith. A person of faith, then let them say good words. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا. let them say a word that is good, أو لا يسمت, or let them remain silent. It's a golden rule. If you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. You will save yourself trouble. Because a lot of times what we say, it gets us in the most trouble. That's reality. And when you are in that argument and that fight, you will remember, I should have not said that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. From what you said brings about trouble for you in this life, and certainly it will be recorded and in your record of deeds in the next. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the truth and to give us the strength to follow that truth and to show us the ways of falsehood and evil and to give us the strength to stay away from those ways of falsehood and evil. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.